Still with us today is Randy Larson, the director of the Center for Homeland Security. One of the groups that's being affected by fears of terrorism is museums, especially those in large cities like New York, Los Angeles, Boston. Joining us now from her office in New York is Lisa Dennison, deputy director and chief curator of the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum in New York. Thanks so much for being with us, Ms. Dennison.
Thank you.
Give us an idea of what's happening in museums. What kind of problems are you experiencing because of fears about terrorism?
You're still here?
Yes. I think the problem that we're experiencing is one that has to do with our insurance policies. Traditionally, acts of terrorism were always included as part of your fine arts insurance coverage for a museum. And after 9/11, as policies have been renewed, terrorism is now excluded from standard coverage. It's similar to an act of war. The repercussions of that are quite serious because if a lender insists on that kind of coverage, one has to seek it outside the traditional policy, and it is prohibitively expensive, even if at all available.
And the result of this is, for lenders, they're just refusing reluctant to lend their pieces for major exhibits. Is that already happening?
I think we're not seeing a tremendous amount of reluctance. There is some, certainly, more among private individuals than institutions. But I think what everyone wants to be assured of is that museums have proper security precautions in place, increased security from previous levels, and that their work is insured for any kind of incident that might happen to it while it's in transit to the museum, the hosting museum, or while it's on the museum's walls.
The concerns about these works of art are really legitimate because a number of works of art were lost on September 11th, were they not?
Well, yes, a number of works of art were definitely lost that were on view at the World Trade Center in various places throughout the buildings. So in any kind of catastrophic accident, even at one's home in an act that's not of terrorism, a fire or anything like that, you can lose works of art. I mean, you know, the world is a fairly dangerous place, but I think that museums are taking every possible precaution to ensure that we are safeguarding our heritage and the works that are entrusted to us.
Specifically, what kind of safety measures have you had to take since 9/11?
Well, I think like most institutions, there's increased security at points of entry, checking bags, checking loading docks, being wary of packages, just a heightened awareness all around.
Randy Larson, you're still with us.
Yes.
I'm wondering if we could talk about the what we've been hearing from Lisa Dennison about the situation museums are in is, of course, the high cost of insurance. First of all, can you give us a sort of big picture cost of insurance since September 11th?
There were enormous losses on 9/11. Warren Buffett, one of the richest people in this country, lost enormous amounts of money, and he said in the future the insurance policies he wrote in the center or buildings in the center parts of major cities, he would not provide coverage for weapons of mass destruction. So that canceled $15 billion worth of construction projects were either canceled or delayed last year because of the inability to get this insurance. And this is a serious problem with the museums, I understand they're having, but I guess what I don't understand is why would a picture or a piece of art be at greater risk from being in a museum in New York City than in Paris? I mean, or London, because I think all these major cities are potential terrorist targets. It's surprising that it's causing it in the art world, I guess. I understand the construction business, but the art world is a bit surprising to hear this.
I think that, first of all, one thing that European governments have, and I think that you're right, the risks are the same in all urban centers, are that their government indemnities or policies which provide the kind of insurance in case of catastrophic loss, which is much harder to get in the United States.
Now that's a good point, because the secondary insurers in this country have fled the market, particularly immediately after 9/11, and I know specifically in Spain, Italy, and I believe in France, the government is the secondary insurer for many of these cases. So that is a difference now. I understand that a little bit better.
The U.S. government indemnity also does cover terrorist insurance on site. The problem is that there's increased demand for that insurance now because of its terrorist coverage, and they simply can't keep up with the demand, so that even though there are many worthwhile projects out there that the State Department would like to fund through the indemnity program, given that there are more requests, less is being fulfilled just in an effort to spread out the coverage so that certain museums or certain exhibitions aren't penalized.
We're discussing the effects of the concerns about terrorism on museums and other businesses as well. Has your business been affected in any way by such fears and such concerns? Give us a call. The number here is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And you can also reach us at TOTN@NPR.org. Lisa Dennison, have you received any help from the city or from the federal government? Are museums getting any money at all to help them with these additional insurance costs that they're incurring as a result of the fear of terrorism or concerns about terrorism?
Well, the federal government is doing its part through the indemnity program, which is very, very fair and reasonable. The American museums have banded together and have agreed not to charge each other terrorist insurance, so one doesn't have to buy additional premiums if the loan is within the United States. And what we're trying to do is urge our colleagues abroad to have the same sort of understanding so that this does not become a problem of just American museums or just countries that don't have a state indemnification program. But in terms of additional funds to pay for escalating insurance premiums, I don't think you'd find any precedent for that.
Okay. And let me ask you, Randy Larson, I just have one other question. This is the subject we were talking about earlier, but another kind of, this is not a business, it's not a museum, but we got an email from a listener who said, in today's Seattle Times, our most prominent high school was reported to have the highest number of fire code violations for any building in the city this past year. How common is this, and what as parents are we able to do? So here we have yet another kind of institution, schools. Randy Larson?
That's an awfully frightening story to hear. I mean, you know, we send our children to schools, and we certainly expect them to be protected. I'm not the fire expert here. I think he got off the line a little bit earlier. I think the proper response to that would be to go to the fire department and the fire inspectors to get those codes enforced. And we do have, you know, standards, and I think particularly in our public school system here, that's a rather frightening report to me as a parent and a grandparent to hear that the school would have the most violations of any. And back to my line, though, is the best way to be prepared for terrorism with this subject is being prepared to meet these standard codes that we have. So I don't think we need to invent any new ones. Sounds like to me we need to enforce the ones that are already on the books.
And Lisa Dennison, are you finding that concerns about terrorism, is it affecting attendance at all at museums?
I think certainly in New York City we've seen a downturn in attendance, which is trackable to other cultural institutions in the city like Broadway theaters. And while we've recovered somewhat, I think that we are not at the levels that we were prior to September 11th. I don't see any immediate effect of a fear of terrorism keeping people out of museums as a place where they might be at increased risk. But it's been an incredibly healthy season for New York City museums. We have some of the best shows on that we've had in years, and I'm hoping that this will bring a lot of people to New York to see really what the museums have to offer.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Lisa Dennison is the Deputy Director and Chief Curator of the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum in New York. She joined us from her office in Manhattan. And thanks also, Randy Larson, for joining us.
Thank you. I took my family to New York for Christmas, and I highly recommend it for a vacation.
Okay. Randy Larson is the director of the Institute for Homeland Security, which is part of the Answer Corporation.